To quote Thomas Jefferson, a well-informed citizenry is the best defense against tyranny. Welcome to the Constitution Solution, one podcast under God, where we discuss the basics of our constitutional republic and how our freedoms are being seized by public officials, both elected and unelected. I'm Mark DeLuzio, a former candidate for the U.S. Congress and a Gold Star father. Join me as we learn together how we can save this unique experiment that we call America. Hello, Mark DeLuzio, episode 40. This episode is going to be called The Duties of the Chief Executive in President Trump's First 15 Days in Office. Right now it's Tuesday, February 4th. I think I got that right. I think it's 15 days, but it's around there anyway. Let's just call it 2 weeks. I want to talk about the duties of the Chief Executive, and we touched on this in a number of different episodes in the past. However, I want to talk more about specifically what's happening today, as well as the pushback, and maybe I'll end with this, but the pushback that President Trump is getting for actually exercising his duties relative to his oath of office, okay? And I want to talk about what that looks like and what those executive powers are and all that. Now, let's start with the bigger picture here and think about the federal government as it was set up by our founding fathers. There are really two primary reasons for the federal government as set up by the founders. Number one, to protect the rights of American citizens, of individuals, to protect our rights. And let's not forget the Constitution. The Constitution is a document that limits the federal government. It's not, remember, our rights don't come from the federal government, all right? They do not grant our rights. They, you know, enumerated rights and inalienable rights that come from natural rights or from God, okay? So number one is to protect the rights of citizens. That's the one of the two purposes of government. And the other one is to defend ourselves, our American citizens, from enemies, foreign and domestic. That's it, right there. Those are the two roles of the U.S. government. Now, let me take Article 2 of the Constitution, talks about the executive branch. And again, for those of you in Rio Linda, that is the president. Again, thank you, Rush Limbaugh, for that. And I'm gonna read in Article 2, Section 1. I believe it's Section 1. Hang on. Yes, it is. The oath that the president has to take. Okay, here it is. I, whatever, do solemnly swear or affirm that I will faithfully execute the office of the President of the United States and will, to the best of my ability, preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution of the United States. Very simple, right? Okay, so that's the oath. Now, all laid out in Article 2. The Chief Executive is commissioned not only to be the Commander-in-Chief of our armed forces, but also to enforce the laws that are passed by Congress and to enforce our Constitution, okay? So that's their job. That's the president's job. Now, if you look at the various laws that were just ignored, the president doesn't have the right to pick and choose the laws that they like. They have to enforce the laws that are passed by Congress. And I think we just have too many laws, but that's a subject for another day. However, I want to focus specifically today on the border and this whole immigration issue. All right. Now, interestingly enough, some of the pure constitutionalist, which I think I am, look at the Constitution. It says that Article 1, Section 8 says that Congress can pass laws as far as naturalization. So naturalization is what are the requirements to grant citizenship, okay? And there's a very fine line between immigration and naturalization, but the courts, the Supreme Court has determined that immigration is within the jurisdiction of Congress. Now, whether or not that's proper or not, let's just go with that for now, because that right now is probably a subject for another day as well. But I want to look at a couple of things as it relates to the border. Now, Article 4, Section 4 of the Constitution says that the United States shall protect the states from invasion. Now, what is the definition of invasion? I think you're going to see if you go to Webster's 1828 dictionary, which is the dictionary of record, that invasion is in fact going on right now in our border. Okay. And so right off the bat, President Trump declared an invasion on our border, which means that he could use military force to protect the citizens of the United States. Now, I want to take you to another part of the law. It's called Title 8. It's a very lengthy law, but in it has the provisions as to who is allowed to be entered legally into this country. And I'm going to take you through the requirements that are laid out in Title 8 of the U.S. Code, okay? Now, I want you to keep in mind the vision of people just walking across the border. You've seen it on the news. You've seen it over the last 4 years. And if you haven't, I'm going to tell you to change the channel, because people have been just walking over the border, snubbing their nose, ICE, which is internal, and border control has been told to stand down, all right? And these people are just walking over with their families. I've seen it in person when I lived in Arizona. We saw people just walking through, okay? Unchecked, totally unchecked, all right? And as a matter of fact, Mayorkas, who's the Secretary of Homeland Security, they created an app on the phone for people to sign up for our benefits that you and I pay for with our taxpayer dollars, an app when you're coming over to sign up and make appointments to sign up for all kinds of benefits, be it, Social Security, Medicare, whatever benefits the government, deemed appropriate at the time. There was actually an app that was created for these illegals. And I am going to use the word illegals, by the way, because once you step foot over our border without going through the normal course of entry based on Title 8 and going through a legal port of entry, you're a criminal. You've broken our law, all right? So the people that are supporting illegal immigration or illegal immigrants, and I get this from the biblical crowd, where we should open up our gates. We should open up our gates to allow anybody and everybody into our country. And all that. Well, no other country does that, by the way, number one. Number two is I'll agree with them if they open up their doors to these criminals that the past administration has been allowing into our country. And let's see if any of these sex traffickers, if these do-gooder Christians, if you will allow these people to babysit their 9-year-old daughter while they go out to dinner, okay? It's not going to happen, all right? But it's easy to talk about somebody else's rights and infringe it upon them, but when you have to bring it that personal, it doesn't happen. So anyway, people walking over the border unchecked, the President Biden has not fulfilled his constitutional rights. I mean, I don't know what to tell you. His constitutional oath. I don't know what to tell you. He has not done that. He has not upheld our laws. And as a matter of fact, have done things to actually do the opposite from enforcing our laws. Okay. Now I'm going to go through Title 8 here. And I pulled out a bunch of things that have to be in place for somebody to legally be able to come into our country. All right. First of all, related to skilled or unskilled workers, unless the Labor Department determines that there is a shortage of any particular worker, they're not allowed into the country. Okay, that's Title 8. Okay. If their entry will not affect the wages, the ongoing wages of American citizens, they're not allowed into the country. They must show a legitimate, valid visa, passport, or some other government document that's up to date, not expired, from the country that they're coming from. Otherwise, they're not allowed to come in the country. They need to show documentation for a number of vaccines. And let me read them off. Mumps, measles, rubella, polio, tetanus, diphtheria, pertussis, I don't even know what that is, the flu, type B, hepatitis type B, and other diseases as deemed by the government. Now, I'm sure COVID's got to be on that list, right? Okay. They're not allowed if they don't have that documentation to come in. So how does somebody just walk in over the border with their family, with their suitcases, nobody checking them? Who's checking them against this stuff? Okay. If they have a prior mental disorder that may cause a threat or history of violence or any type of mental derangement, they're not allowed in. If they're a drug abuser or an addict, they're not allowed in. If they have a DUI, driving under the influence of alcohol or drugs, and they've injured a person, they're not allowed in. If they have a criminal record, okay, or committed a crime, they're not allowed into our country. If they have abused controlled substances or trafficked drugs, they're not allowed into our country. If they're prostitutes, no. If they're involved in money laundering, no, they're not allowed in. Any kind of espionage, any kind of terrorist activity, or members of any type of terrorist organization, they're not allowed in. If they're associated with the Communist Party, they're not allowed in. Okay? These are all right off of Title 8. You know, when I was running for Congress, somebody asked me once, Mark, what are you going to do to reform the immigration laws? And I said, reform the immigration laws? That is code. I'm sorry. That is code for allowing illegals in. When the liberals are saying we need to reform these laws, they're basically saying we need to make the laws in concert with all these people illegally coming into the country and making what they're doing legal. All right? That's what that's code for. So my answer to this woman who asked me this one day was, not until we follow the laws, which basically are Title 8 in this case, not until we follow the laws am I even willing to look at the law as to whether or not it makes sense. But I've looked at the law and it does seem to make sense. And don't fall for this. We have to reform the laws. We have to enforce the laws. That's the job of the president. That's the job of the executive branch, is to enforce the laws. Whether or not the president likes the law or not, it doesn't matter. The laws were passed by Congress, which is the voice of the people that represent you and me. And the president doesn't have a choice to pick and choose the laws he wants to enforce. So my answer to her was, don't fall for this reform crap, all right? Am I saying that there's not parts of this law? And by the way, it's rather complicated. There's a lot of, if you look at Title 8, there's all kinds of different provisions about spouses and children, and it's a rather complex law, okay? But we are not abiding, or Biden administration had not abided by the most basic parts of this law as to the requirements to allow an individual into our country. Now, there's other provisions too. I didn't name them all. But those are some of the ones I'm sitting here looking at this and saying, how the heck would we be allowing any of this going on, right? This is definitely impeachment territory that Congress, I think we had control of the House. We have impeachment power. That's one of the checks and balances in the Constitution, that we can actually impeach the president over stuff like this. And they didn't do it. They did not. They tried to impeach Mayorkas. And I'm saying, are you kidding me? Forget Mayorkas. You got to go after the chief executive here. He did not upheld his oath to the Constitution. And he failed you and me and everybody else, every other 30 million Americans, miserably. And people have died because of this. The number right now is 100 to 150,000 of fentanyl deaths every year because of illegal drugs coming in. I was just with a former Supreme Court justice out of Arizona who's very familiar with the border in Arizona. And he said that every woman and most children who come over the border are repeatedly raped in their little cartel brothels as entry to come into the country. Think about that. And liberals are worried about, oh, you're going to separate the children from the parents? Is that before or after they get repeatedly raped? Okay. So, you know, I look at this and say, this was a travesty. And then I'm not even talking about the crimes and the criminals that were allowed into this country, okay, that committed crimes, known criminals that committed crimes, rape, murder, robbery, go down the list. The president failed in his constitutional duty, not only to protect our rights, but to defend us from enemies, foreign and domestic. So that's just Title 8, okay? Now, you know, President Trump is getting all kinds of pushback from all kinds of people. And let's try to figure out why. All you need to do is follow the money. That's all you need to do. Follow the money. There are a host of people in this country benefiting from child trafficking and from illegal immigration. I'm not going to name names. But I think they exist, my personal opinion, they exist in politics, they exist in Hollywood, they exist in the sports world, they exist in almost every facet in the corporate world, every facet of life. And, you know, Jeffrey Epstein is just a tip of the iceberg in terms of what's really been going on in this whole situation, okay? A lot of money to be made here. So President Trump is upsetting the apple cart when it comes to this. And everybody's taking their moral high road here to say, you know, they're virtue signaling and saying that, oh, this is not right. Your family came over from Italy, Mark. Yeah, they came over legally. I actually have the actual papers, the real papers that they signed legally to come through Ellis Island. Okay. Matter of fact, my grandmother signed on the line with an X because she couldn't write English. But she came into the country, and my grandfather got a job at Stanley Works in New Britain, Connecticut. He was a pickling operator, right? Which means you're taking parts into a big bath of acid and moving them back and forth to get the impurities off the parts, which is probably why he died of cancer at an early age. But anyway, they came over and worked hard, bought a house, raised a family, did all the right things. Okay, so. So that's one thing. The military-industrial complex is another one. President Trump didn't start wars. And that put a little dent into the pocketbooks of the people who are benefiting from the military-industrial complex. And that includes members of Congress. That includes all the benefactors that get donations from these big companies. Okay, we did a whole episode on that earlier on in this podcast on the military-industrial complex. Go check it out. You'll be surprised. That at the time, the number five, I think it was number five, largest contractor was Pfizer. So tie that into the COVID scam. Okay, tie that one in. All right. You take a look at the type of payoffs and the type of profits that are being made in that space, and you'd be very surprised. Because, you know, these people are also looking at the contributions coming in from these companies. right? I mean, today we're talking about the USAID department and all the stuff that they've been spending on diversity training in foreign countries and education and all that. Don't you think for a minute that somebody is getting a kickback on that stuff here in the U.S., right? I can guarantee you that's what's going on, right? So thank God Marco Rubio is looking at that and trying to put a stop to that, okay? And the whole Elon Musk Doge thing is going on as well, which I already have applied to work in that organization. Let's talk about the Chamber of Commerce on the national level. Not the local chambers. I think the local chambers, in my experiences, have been pretty good. The overall national Chamber of Commerce is for big labor. I'm sorry, for big business, and they want cheap labor. Let's go back to Paul Ryan when he headed up Congress, and President Trump in his first term had the Senate, and he had the majority also in the Congress, and we couldn't get the wall built. Why? Paul Ryan was beholden to the Chamber of Commerce. So he wanted illegal immigration just as much as the Democrats, but maybe for different reasons. They wanted it for votes. And Paul Ryan wanted it for his buddies in the Chamber of Commerce. Okay. So all I say is when you get pushback, follow the money. Follow the money as to why President Trump is getting pushback for simply doing his job, for simply doing the job is outlined in the Constitution, and to comply with the oath of office that he took on January 20th, follow the money. Okay, we'll wrap it up there, but this episode was called The Duties of the Chief Executive and President Trump's First 15 Days, which, by the way, he's done so much in the first 15 days, it's hard to keep track, right? And every time somebody starts complaining on the left about what he's done, he's got another left hook coming to him on some other issue. So, boy, I never seen such an energetic administration in my life. So anyway, I hope you understand a little bit about why does the chief executive, what are his duties? We didn't get into the whole commander-in-chief part of this thing. That's a subject maybe for another day. But President Trump is upholding the law. And that's exactly what that job is supposed to be all about. Okay? Mark DeLuzio, check us out. We'll see you next time. This was episode 40. Thanks for listening. Thanks for listening to The Constitution Solution, one podcast under God. The Constitution is the solution to most of our country's problems. Other episodes can be found on our website at 1787solution.com, YouTube, Rumble, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and most other podcast platforms. I'm your host, Mark DeLuzio. Until next time, may God bless you, may God bless America, and may America bless God.